You might like to turn in your Bible, if you would, to the Gospel of John and chapter 14. Gospel of John, chapter 14. Perhaps we could look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, we thank you for thy word. Thank you for your saving grace. Thank you for what you do, when you do, how you do. God, thank you for caring. Thank you for your involvement. May we be found looking to you for all that you have in mind, what you have in mind, and to work it all out for your honor and glory. And our God, we're going to thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. In our study of the Gospel of John, and we in the upper room, and we share together in chapter 14 over the Spirit of God's wonderful ministry, chapter 14, and in verse 26, the Spirit of God's ministry. And then our Lord gives another bit of encouragement to the 11 disciples whose outlook is not positive. He's trying to help them, but they aren't in a position to hear, understand. They're looking for, ultimately, the end. Prison, maybe, for them. Death, maybe, for them. And the results of all of the benefits of all that he's going to do, they do not understand. He's standing in front of them. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. But they don't identify with him. They don't understand. It is necessary for him to go to the cross, which he told them 6 months earlier, more than that, and they just didn't get it. Now, so when John is writing, John is the last living apostle. So as he writes, if you would keep in mind, as he's writing at the end, and it's there when, therefore you pick up that he's filling in and giving you information they normally wouldn't have. So hold your finger here in chapter 14 for a minute and go over to chapter 2. The Gospel of John in chapter 2. And picking up in verse 19, you'll recall, Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple, his body, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Then said the Jews, 46 years, looking at the literal temple of Herod, 46 years was this temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? But he spake of the temple of his body. When therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this unto them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said when he had risen. Now, John fills in. They're going to, right in John chapter 14 in the upper room, they aren't ready yet. But after he had been crucified and risen again, it all came together like he said it would. And the Spirit of God's ministry was to make that happen, and they remembered wonderfully and did so. And now, sliding along, if I can, John chapter 14. Remember now they had a relationship. The Lord Jesus Christ is seeking to remind them of the relationship. And that relationship is an awesome relationship, because it involves an outworking of a relationship to him that shows the reality and rightness of his saving grace How so? In the heart of each believer. Each believer will fully, wonderfully represent the reason Christ came to earth to die for the sin of the world. And each believer will do so. Now, so when we look at chapter 14, and therefore the witness is going to be 14, 12, verse 13, verse 14. We did all of that. And in looking at that, they're going to bear witness in a very personal way, in a very public way. And they're going to have a unique and wonderful relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Comforter, the Spirit of God's wonderful ministry. And verse 20 to 24, we share together that God is going to be, I'll read verse 20 for the sake of that. At that day, you shall know what? That I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. It's a very personal, connected relationship. Just like you live inside your body, Christ lives inside God, and God in Christ lives inside you. Inside. Personal, like the cups, all together. They're all, it's a unique relationship. Personal, unheard of, impossible, except a God. A God created us so that he could find his home in our heart. Now that's what God did in his wonderful, wonderful saving grace. And since we're in the age of grace, God is demonstrating that in a most wonderful way by placing the believing heart in his wonderful Son, Christ Jesus our Lord. So therefore, as a unique God himself, the Father and the Son are going to go and exercise and make all of the wonderful things, chapter 14 and verse 26, make all of that come to pass in a wonderful way. And they're going to remember it. So it is the Christ ones we share together. There's the Antichrist ones and the Christ ones. Now, all of that relationship is to be outworked in an awesome way. We shared a little bit in Sunday school to remind ourselves that we are uniquely, wonderfully given privilege, more than, different than Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, David, Moses, John the Baptist, Job. Unique relationship as his body. Now, so having all and knowing all, for God is all in all things. So therefore, when you receive God as your Savior in Christ Jesus, how much did you receive of God? All of God. What about God? What doesn't God know? There's nothing God doesn't know. What is there that God can't do? There's nothing God can't do. Does God know all things, have all things, is all things? Absolutely. So the head, God knows it. And where are you found? In his Son, Christ Jesus, in God. Therefore, you have everything God does, and you have access, and God has access to you, I in you, and you in him, in a unique relationship. And all of that relationship is to be outworked in his body for his glory. We are his witnesses to bear witness to his awesome words, his truths. His wonderful, wonderful, reassuring words are to be found, verse 26, in the heart. God, that's what you have. You have the Bible in front of you. God gave the Bible in the original language. And God stands behind what he said, and what men do with it, and how they read it, and how they believe it, and what they do with it, all of that may exist. But God honors his word. And the Spirit of God, as you look to God, you do it a different way. You can read the Bible for 500 hours and memorize it. That's all. Nothing else. Didn't go anywhere. No, wonderful thing that you did, but it won't do you any good. And a little boy, a girl, young person, anyone, could go and read the Gospel of John and read John 3:16 or anything else in it. And you know what? If that little heart is believing, God will make all of those words real. The 500 hours, nothing. Wonderful intellect, understanding. But the believing heart, God substantiates it. He certifies it. He locks it in and says, it's certain. That's why you're safe. Now, so therefore, keeping that in mind, we shared in verse 27 that God goes and gives his peace. He gives his peace. It isn't a wish. I wish you peace. I hope you have peace. Nope, that isn't what he did. They needed encouragement, continued, and that's what he built it. He built the encouragement all the way down the line. And he said, peace, my peace I give unto you. It's a gift. It's a gift. And it's my peace. My peace. We'd say, Bob's hat. My shoes. My words. My personal ownership, possession. It's my peace. Not your peace, not somebody else's peace. It's my peace. I give my peace to you. It's a gift. Now, and we share together on this so that we understood Old Testament word and the New Testament word. And therefore, my peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Now, it's in the present tense. I'm giving it to you. I'm leaving it with you. It's going to remain with you. It's going to stay with you. And God the Holy Spirit is going to go and make sure that you have it. A, think of the fruit of the Spirit of God, Galatians 5 and 22 and 23. Loved the Spirit, fruit singular. Love, joy, peace. Where's the peace coming from? Whose peace is it? It's my peace, said the Lord Jesus. It's the peace that God has. The Father has it. The Son has it. And the Spirit of God has it. And now you have it. I give it to you. It's a gift. Well, what? Where is the gift? Where's the gift? Where is the gift? We're looking for the gift. God gave that. Wonderful, 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 wonderful thing. Now, God did this wonderful thing, and he gives it to us so that the Spirit of God is able to do exceeding wonderful things in our heart and life. Now, so having said that, remember peace. Peace has to do with the New Testament, has to do with connecting. Everything comes together, connects together, interlocks together, comes together to make everything complete. Complete, full, whole, lacking, nothing. All of it comes together, walks together. There's nothing missing. Nothing missing at all. It's the word, to come together, to bring all things together, to make it whole, complete, full, lacking nothing, to bring all things. Therefore, the peace, my peace, I give unto you, I confer it unto you, the peace. Without price, it is. The no price doesn't cost anything. I give it into your possession. I give it to you for you to possess, for you to have, for you to own. And therefore, I'm looking for you to have this peace. Whose peace? Mine. So God, I need to understand about your peace, because that's what it isn't how I feel. It isn't how anyone else feels. It's how you are. The peace that you have. That's why we, like in Colossians chapter 3, let the peace of God rule, or you act as an empire in your heart. Now that isn't your peace. We've shared all that. I mean, you do it again somewhere. It isn't your peace. Nothing to do. You say, I have peace about this. You may, but it may, more than likely, it isn't God's peace. percentage-wise, very high. It isn't God's peace. It's what you feel good about. You feel it's all right. What's wrong with what I did? Say, think, do. There's nothing wrong with it. That's our peace. But not God's peace. And God's peace is to rule in our heart. So therefore, I need to get God's peace clearer and clearer in my little head and heart so that I understand. Otherwise, I'm running on what I feel good about. People can feel good about bombing something or doing something. They feel good. And they're sincere as can be, no question. But it isn't God's. Now, therefore, as we share together, my peace I give unto you, God's peace. And it has to do with the absence of strife, the absence of conflict of any kind. It means a complete, wonderful whole, like shalom, a complete health, well-being, good health, sound, safe, secure, solid, substance, wholeness, health. All of those words line up. All of those words are what? Saying shalom. It's a big word, complete word, a wonderful word. What did you give us? You didn't wish us peace on the trip. You gave us your peace for the trip, for the journey through time. I give you my peace. Okay? So we're looking at that. We want to understand that. Therefore, I want you to see it from a little different window, just to catch it, to see it. Otherwise, we don't get it maybe as much. Over to Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah and chapter 9. And if I can, and you would recall a familiar verse, statement. And in Isaiah chapter 9, you are familiar with, I'm going to read it, wonderful prophecy, verse 6. For unto us a child is born, Bethlehem of Judea. Unto us a son is given, God the Son, in the humanity of Jesus Christ by way of the Spirit of God. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince, the Ruler of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David, and upon the kingdom, and upon his kingdom, to order it, to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will make it happen, will perform it, will make sure it all occurs as it needs to be. Therefore, keeping that in mind, God, you, the Lord Jesus Christ, is our peace. He is the peace of God. And the Lord Jesus Christ is going to give his peace that he possesses by way of the Spirit of God, so we aren't going to have peace on our terms to be able to put in our hand like a bulletin. Peace. You can't do that. Because the peace is a person. And God the Holy Spirit is the person. He is the peace. He is the peace. So you don't mess, you don't have to fool, you don't have to wonder, is this for real? Is this right? Does this work? Is there anything in forever, including Satan himself? Is anyone that can bother with this, interfere with this? Never. It belongs to him. It's his. And no one messes with God. Now, having that little bit, just to pick up the flavor of it, you're going to. And if you were living in the days of the 10 tribes in the north of in Israel, going to go into the Assyrian captivity, and then looking to the 2 tribes in the south to go ultimately into the Babylonian captivity, God is trying to help them understand because they're leaving God out. They aren't including God. They're forgetting God. Therefore, over to Isaiah and chapter 32. Isaiah chapter 32, picking up, if I may, oh, to get the flavor of it, if I can, over to verse 15. Until the Spirit be poured upon us from on high, and the wilderness be a fruitful field, and the fruitful field be counted as a forest. Everything is going to develop and grow wonderfully, wonderfully, wonderfully. Sliding down. Verse 16, then judgment shall dwell in the wilderness, and righteousness remain in the fruitful field. So everything's going to be good and right as it ought to be. And the work, the effect of righteousness, what does righteousness do? It makes peace. When things are right. If you had a math problem or something, and you had a math problem and you're trying to be important number to come up with, and as you're adding the numbers up, and it's being questioned about the numbers or something else, and in the process, if the number is coming, and it is right, are you encouraged? Here's all the other answers. Do you know what you added up is right? Don't you feel good about that? Because you know what? It's right. It's right. You want to make right decisions. You make right decisions because they're right. Is that right back there? Yep. Now, hang on. In the process, the judgment shall, and the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect, that's the result, the effect of righteousness, quietness, and assurance forever. Now, God, you're going to make peace. It's right. That's why it's peace. It's right. You feel it's nothing. There's nothing missing. It's the right answer, right things. And the effect, the result of righteousness is going to produce quietness and assurance forever. That's what it's going to do. You're going to be at peace, still, quiet, tranquil. That's what you're going to be, because it's right. You don't have to mess with it. You don't have to fool with it. You don't have to rethink it. It's just the right thing to do, and you do it. Verse 18, and my people shall dwell in a peaceful habitation and in sure dwellings and in quiet resting places. Why? Because during the millennium, it's peace. He rules with a rod of iron wonderfully. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, over, if you would please, over to 48. Different ones. This, you can't do them all. Just enough to get the flavor of it. Chapter 48. And may I go, please, in the light of that. And you recall in verse 17, thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit, which leadeth thee by the way that thou shouldst go. In other words, I'm going to take you down the corridor of time, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, 10 years old, 12 years old, 100 years old. I'm going to take you down the corridor of time. That's what I'm going to do, and I'm going to lead you in the way that you should go. Verse 18, but, oh, that thou hadst hearkened unto my commandment. If they had just paid attention, God would have let them. He leadeth, think of Psalm 23. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his namesake. If you'd just gone and followed and let me take you down the corridor of time, it would be wonderful, because it would be the right thing in the right way to get to the next week, to the next year, to get through the next whatever it is, to get through it. And you'll get through it rightly. And if you go that way, what are you going to find? Verse 18, my commandments, then if you had done that, then had thy peace been as a river, and thy righteousness as the waves of the sea. You would have found what? You're in the right path, in the right way, for the right reasons. You're looking to me. And when you do that, you'll have peace. And your peace is going to be like a river. A river, not a brook, not a trickle. A river, flowing river, flowing down. It's going to be like that. And your righteousness like the waves of the sea, never ending. How can you miss? God said, hey, if you guys just stopped Israel, 10 tribes, 2 tribes, if you just fixed, but they didn't do it. They could have done it. And they would have found God's rightness because they would honor God, God's word and will, and they would have found peace. But they didn't. They just didn't do it. So now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, slide down while you're in chapter 48. Slide down, to, if you would. Because they didn't do it, verse 22, there is no peace, saith the Lord, unto the wicked. There just isn't any. So here's the world, and remember Romans, going to tell us, and they're going to have peace, but it isn't any peace. That's the world's peace. There's no peace here. Come on. Everything's in upheaval. Nothing's complete. Nothing's sure. Nothing's certain. They're coming and going, and 1 minute it's up, and the next 1 minute you feel good, the next minute you don't feel good. 1 minute things are good in the news, the next time they're bad in the news. And whatever, it's up and down. You say that work, home, school, it's what it is. Wow. And we call it peace every now and then. But God, that isn't what you give us. No, you gave us your peace in a most wonderful way. And Israel should have known if they had turned to you, they would have found your wonderful peace. But they didn't do it. They left you out of the picture. And therefore, over if you would, Isaiah 53. What is our Lord going to do? Isaiah 53. Our Lord is going to go and do a wonderful thing. And you'll notice, please, in verse 5, speaking of our Lord's crucifixion, verse 5, but he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace, that which makes possible peace, was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. So God, how are we going to have any peace? You're going to have to make things right. What did you do on the cross? You made things right that were wrong. We're wrong. God, we have not a drop of rightness in us. Our very best efforts and energies are wrong. They lack rightness. Who and where do we find, from where do we find rightness? From you, God. And without you, there isn't any. So when we look to you for your right, because we need to be saved, Christ died on the cross to provide us righteousness. That's what Isaiah 53:5. He had to die to give us a rightness that we didn't have. And whose rightness is he giving us? His own. His own rightness for his own peace, like a river. Now, picking up that little thought, over if you would to Isaiah 57. God, we need to be able to have it and know it and to share it. But, verse 19, I create, 57:19 for time's sake, I create the fruit of the lips, be able to say thank you with your heart, etc., etc. I create the fruit of the lips, peace, peace, shalom, shalom, to him that is far off, and to him that is near, saith the Lord, and I will heal him. I will make possible the lips that you can't, won't say thank you. I will make that happen in a most wonderful way. I'm going to make it so you can have peace. When you have peace, you're going to be able to say it, to show it, and enjoy it. Now, and therefore, verse 20, but the wicked are like the troubled sea, when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, there's your little word again. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. There just isn't any. There's none to be found. Nope, not a drop. So therefore, God, looking to you, Isaiah 59. So there's no peace, God, you keep saying it. It needs rightness. You can't have peace without rightness. God is the rightness we need. Therefore, he can offer us peace. Isaiah 59, sliding down to verse 8 in light of context. The way of peace they know not. There is no judgment in their goings. They have made them crooked paths. Whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. You can't go in the wrong path and come out and have peace. The only way, you have to go on the right path. The Lord Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You have to go down the right path for the right reasons to have the right peace. So therefore, if I can, back over to the Gospel of John. Thank you. I didn't mean, if you didn't turn too fast, we're all set. Back over to Isaiah. I want to give you that which you know, but in the light of Isaiah. In the light of the king, the prince of peace is going to rule, etc., etc. Isaiah chapter 26, Isaiah 26. And you'll notice, I'll read verse 1, in that day, millennium, kingdom, thou shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city, salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. So what are you going to have? What's surrounding you? God. Verse 2, open ye the gates that the righteous nation, which keepeth the truth, may enter in. It's a right nation. Therefore, right. Therefore, verse 3, thou wilt keep him in coming in rightly, coming in perfect peace. Perfect peace is the word shalom twice. Peace, perfect peace. Whose mind, heart, imagination, thought process is resting down upon God, participle, resting down upon God, on thee, because he is trusting in thee. Then the word picks it up, the word trust in verse 4. Trust ye, command, ye in the Lord, trust ye in the Lord forever. For in the Lord, Jehovah, is everlasting strength. So God, the righteous are going to find what? They're going to find perfect peace. As they think and understand rightly, that's what you want to do, not wrongly. Are you right? And you have to rest in God's word and in God's person. Because you and I do not have, you can say, right, I believe this is right. You may believe it. Is it right? Is it right? That's the question. Is it really right? Tested to see if it's right. God, it is right. Who you are, you are the righteous God. You say right things for the right reasons in the right way. And you do all of those wonderful things because you're God. Now, so therefore, back to our little word peace, looking at it from the New Testament, if you can. Back over to John. And in John chapter, John chapter 16. Near the end of the upper room, but not the end. John chapter 16, picking up in verse 33. These things have I spoken unto you. Why are you doing this? That in me, not in you, not about you, not about your wife, kids, family, friends, home, nope, work, nope, not about you, not about anything. It's about me, said God. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me, I am the one giving you my peace. you might have peace. You aren't going to have it apart from me. And in the world though, you're going to have, you shall have tribulation, pressure, squeezing, trouble, but be of good cheer and courage. I have overcome the world. So I want you to know I'm giving you my peace, and in the world, you're going to have something. In your earthly body, the wicked, there is no peace, saith my God to the wicked. So if you're looking for peace in the government, peace in education, peace by religion, peace by anything, you aren't going to find it. Friends, if I have friends, if I have this, if I have that, if this happens, that happens, you aren't going to have peace. All of human history says it doesn't work. But everyone's going to try it and keep doing it instead of turning around and looking to God and finding what? God's rightness, and in God's rightness, finding God's peace. It's right. Are you saved rightly? Yes. Are you at peace about being saved? Huh? Are you at peace about being saved? Complete. That's right. Because it's the, what are you trusting? I'm trusting your rightness, God. Nothing to do with me in any way, shape, or form. My opinions or anything else. It's all about you and your wonderful peace. So therefore, that little word peace, little word we're looking at has to do with undisturbed, untroubled well-being, a state of tranquility, a state of safety, undisturbed, complete, whole, coming together, lacking nothing whatsoever, nothing lacking, God. So that's the peace. Uh-huh. My peace. That's what I give you. I give you that. God, is there anything missing with you? No. No, nothing's missing. Is there anything lacking? Is there anything you need? Anything that needs to happen? Anything that can happen? Anything anywhere, anyhow? No. It's all together. Everything's together. From start, before I created angels, to when I'm finished, and a new heavens and a new earth, it's complete. There's nothing missing. And you're in the middle of it. That's where you are. Peace. The beginning. Ah, the ending. I have them. What about today? It's my day. My day. Here we are gathered together on your day, God. That's right. Wow. So now, God, we're looking to you to deal with us according to your wonderful grace in a most wonderful way. Now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, if you would, over to the Gospel of John, chapter 20. We didn't get very far, but got a little bit, maybe. John, chapter 20. Now, this is after his resurrection. John 14 is before his crucifixion. John 20 is after he's risen. I'm interested in the difference. Before his crucifixion, my peace I give unto you. It's a gift. We're all looking. After his resurrection, what do you say to them? Aha, chapter 20. Remember now in the upper room, he comes, shows himself alive. Verse 20, and when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Now, God's going to confirm something. He said it before his crucifixion in the upper room. He's now going to say it just a handful of days later. He's going to say, I'm going to confirm to you, troubled souls. Remember, they didn't believe until after he rose again. Chapter 20, verse 22. Then said Jesus to them, peace be unto you. As my Father sent me, so send I you. And he confirms his peace. It's a confirmation. I gave you my peace. I want you to go out having my peace. Remember we shared it in the evening of a couple of weeks ago or so? The gospel, your feet, Ephesians 5, 6, and 15. The feet shod, sandaled with the gospel of peace. The peace, the power. The peace. How are you going to go? In peace. That's right. I give you my peace. I give it to you. I confirm it to you. Here I am. Here's my hands. Here's my side. I confirm to you what I said to you. My peace. You're going to go out and you're going to have my peace. You aren't going to solve the world's problems. You aren't going to make everything right or wrong. You aren't going to do that. You're going to go and represent me and be at peace. That's what you're going to do. Because your job is to honor me with all your heart. Wow. And that's what you're going to do. I am. I am going to do that. Now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, over if you would to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians, if I can. And in chapter 5. Remember, looking into the future, coming in days ahead, the tribulation. So here we are in the world, and we didn't look at it too much, yet we will try to do that. Understand, what is the world's peace like? Well, here's what's the world doing? We'd like to have peace in the world, and what are we going to do to get it? Well, one of the things we've got to do is take care of Israel. And the whole world, generally speaking, the nations, where is the problem? It's with the Jews. It's with Israel. They're the scapegoat. They're the straw man. And they're pointing. And it is true. Until there's peace in Jerusalem, there is no peace in the world. Because until there's peace in Jerusalem, which requires the Prince of Peace, there isn't any peace in the world. In the world, you will have trouble. The world is in trouble with God. Therefore, in closing, 1 Thessalonians 5, I should say, closing that chapter 5, but of the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. And you're going to be clued in. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Now, and therefore it's going to come, and you're going to look, and we're looking for peace. That's what we're looking for. Some way to make it so we're all coordinated in communism, socialism, or something else, and caught up in some system for peace. That's what the Antichrist is going to come along with, peace. What's the world looking for when he comes into power? Peace. What's the world looking for now? Peace. Peace. Everyone got bombs and nuclear things, and people more and more get them, and the terrorists can buy them from Pakistan. I mean, you want to buy, you got enough money? Go buy yourself an atomic bomb. You go buy yourself, then have it, and then tell them anyone that threatens you, tell them you'll drop it on them. Trouble is, it will take everyone with it. Wow. No. So God, peace. Peace. Wow. You're going to have that. That's what they're going to say. We're looking for peace. It's bombs are everywhere. Everyone got them. Wow. And anyone that feels up to it, so what? So what's a few lives? What's a few anything in the name of our cause? Communism, if you're true communism, could never be anything other than communism. Islam can be never thing, a true Islamic, can never be anything but true Islamic. How could you be an Islam, Muslim, without being a true one? So therefore, looking out, they're consistent. Here, believers. Believers ought to be what? True believers. They ought to have the same commitment to being Christians, to being Christ ones, as the people do in the world. So therefore, now, Philippians chapter 4. Peace in the world. In the world, there's tribulation. They're looking for peace. And they aren't going to find peace in any way, shape, or form. They're going to look for it, make treaties, talk about treaties, talk about all kinds of things, make negotiations, threats, etc. You know. Philippians chapter 4, God, we read it in the reading. And you know, in everything, being careful in everything, by prayer, verse 6, and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So we aren't going to worry about a thing. Stop. It's a command. Stop being anxious. Stop worrying about anything. How can you say that? Because I give you perfect peace. And if it's perfect, what on earth could you worry about? If you're resting in my peace, how could you worry about anything? I'm not worried, said God. And you're worried. That's the trouble. You ought not to be worried if you're resting in my peace. Does that make sense to you? If you got a glass full, then the glass is full. If it's full, it's either full or it isn't. Either I'm resting in God's peace or I'm not. And therefore, verse 7, and the peace of God, when you do this properly, which passes beyond, over, above, and beyond, present tense, participle, keeps on going, passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So are you going to understand it? No. If you're seeking to put this together mentally and intellectually, it's not going to happen. Let me give you another little illustration for good or bad. If I put you in a very secure boat of whatever size you want, and I'm going to give you plenty of water, fresh water, super-duper supply of food, everything. You can live there a whole year out in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean. Okay? Now tell me, how many days, it's a whole year, have you been able to understand and grasp the dimensions of the ocean? Its width, its height, its depth, I should say, its length. Can you grasp it? Here you are in your little boat out there, and you've been there a whole year. To how much of the ocean have you absorbed? Do you have a grasp of it? Look up to the sky. You've been out there a year, over 2 trillion galaxies, not stars, 2 trillion galaxies they observe. When have you absorbed the stars? When do you understand 1 trillion galaxies, let alone 2 trillion? When do you have that? You don't. Is it there? Understand it's there. My peace I give unto you. You aren't going to understand it because it's mine. And all you can do is enjoy the ocean in your little boat. Look up at the sky. God, what about the sky? Do you know all the dust in the air? I can weigh that in my hand. What do you think of that? Why don't you try weighing the dust in your room? God said, listen, I know the hairs of your head. I know all the stars. I call them by name. I know your hair. Peace I give with you. Not because of you don't have it, anything to qualify for it, but in Christ Jesus, He provides the rightness that is required for peace. And when you're resting in my Son, in His righteousness, your peace, my peace, which passes all understanding, is yours. Our Father and God, we thank you for your word, your work. Deal with our heads and our hearts, and God, help us inch by inch in these special days. And our God, we're going to thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen.